So earlier you mentioned pornography. So could you tell us, before the internet and multimedia, things like that, how this came about or how you went about like accessing
this? Well, I took recent trips to Richmond, D.C. when I was in Richmond. It was only a two-hour drive, so I would go up there a lot and buy magazines in bookstores and take them home. We looked at magazines for entertainment, but I got to actually see the guys without the shirts that I like to see, and didn't have to approach anybody and say, hey, can you take your shirt off? So that was a fun thing to do. The other thing that was available was what they called bookstores. At one point, they would have books like novels around the front of the store, and so that anyone walked in, they could get a novel, and it was a bookstore. But really what it was a back room. You would get change from the guy at the counter and go back and put quarters in a little booth. You go in a little booth, and there was a little machine there. You put quarters in, and you had three choices of videos, and you could sit there and watch videos in a little booth by yourself or with a friend and do whatever. They didn't encourage being with a friend, but you could sneak them in there. And as time grew on, the regular books disappeared, and it got replaced by actual VHS videotapes that you could rent from the folks. It was kind of like the porn Blockbuster, if folks remember back in the Blockbuster days. You had a membership, you could rent those movies, bring them back in 2 or 3 days, and that's how you accessed porn back then. Those places still exist, and they've changed drastically. Some have, at some point, the police made them change the doors. They would chop them off so that they were just little 3 or 4 foot doors that you could see people's feet, and you could see if there were 2 people in there or whatever, so it kind of got really hard to be gay, and a lot of times when you meet a stranger, you wouldn't want to take them home because you didn't know if they were going to come back later, steal you, kill you, whatever. So they were safe in one way, but the cities wanted to crack down on them. But you go to places like Cleveland and in D.C., and there's bathhouses, and they're legal, and you go in, and you get your locker, and you get naked, and you do whatever, and you do whatever, and you leave. I've been to one in Cleveland. A friend of mine took me there. Lived there, and I went up to visit him, and it was right down the street. I used to go here to the bookstores, and I would go, wow, I'm old, they're old, I'm not attracted to an older person. So when I went to Cleveland to the bookstore, the bathhouse, I kind of went, okay, I'm here, I'm old, he's old, he's old, he's old. The only difference is they're naked. So it really didn't help me a lot with the bathhouse, but they had those things going on, and they're an outlet for a lot of folks. They're open usually 24 hours. You pay one fee, and you can stay for a day or two or whatever. I don't think there's a lot of food, so it's kind of not healthy, maybe a snack machine or whatever. So if you're in there too long, you need nourishment besides just a bag of chips. But that's the places that we went and the things that we did, and some people still do those things. Anonymous sex is something that people enjoy because they don't come along with the baggage of a relationship or someone hanging around you that you're not attracted to. I knew a person that would go and have sex with anybody and anybody because that's what turned them on, being with someone they didn't know attracted them. And I was always, they had to look good. I wanted to be attracted to them, so I was maybe the odd person.
That's great. So we do understand that you are a gay man. Have you ever had an experience with women?
I have. I met a guy in Richmond when I was when I just moved up there. He was a high school kid, and I really fell for him and moved to his side of town over a year or so because I really wanted to be around him. He worked in my shop, and of course, being underage, he and I couldn't do anything, and he got really close to me. His father had left his mother. His mother worked second shift. He had a key to my house, and we palled around together, and we were together for 2 years as pals, and when I told him I was gay, he stayed away. I guess that could be a little slogan. Tell him you're gay, they'll stay away. But he was one of my closest friends, and then came back to Roanoke in 1984 and was driving around the block, the area that I mentioned earlier, and saw a guy that resembled this guy in Richmond, except he was taller, and he had his shirt unbuttoned, and he just looked almost like that guy. And I'm going, oh boy, here's the guy that I've liked for years, and here's one that is selling it here to me. So I pulled over. I gave him my phone number because I was busy that night. He called me in a week. We had a month or two a relationship and a 15-year friendship. And we're sexually over the 15 years. And he passed away 5 or 10 years ago. But when I found out that he would not, I tried everything I could do to let him like me and love me, but I found out you can't make people love you, and people are going to love you or like you if they want to. And he kind of liked my money. He liked what I did for his kids and his ex-wife, but he didn't. And he loved me in his own way, but he didn't love me the way I wanted to be loved by him. And at one point I said, well, if I can't have him, I'll go straight. And I worked at Mill Mountain Theater box office, and there was a stage manager that that kind of liked me at a party, and we kind of had a 3-month relationship, and we had sex frequently. I was still having sex with him on the side, and she wanted to get married. I said, if you're still talking to me in 5 years, we'll get married, because I figured in 5 years she'd find out one way or the other that I was gay. But again, it comes back to sexual beings. It was fun having sex with her because sex is just a thing, but I was more attracted to guys. And I remember Star Wars being on TV years after it was out at the theaters, and she wanted to have sex. So we're sitting there on the couch, and she's having sex with me on the couch. I'm looking at Star Wars because she wasn't a guy. So that's another reason, or another way I knew I was gay and liked guys. We broke up when she moved away, and I wrote her a letter telling her the truth. So she found out kind of a bad way, but she found out I was gay and kind of cleared my conscience of it anyway. But she was a sweet girl, and again, that lasted 3 months. She's been the only one. I'm close with girls, but I don't have sex with girls.
Definitely. Could you tell us a little bit about your role during the AIDS epidemic? Like, during the time that it was going on, did anything happen to you? Have you experienced anything?
Well, it was one of those things, kind of like murder, I guess, because it only happened to other people. You saw it on the news. You saw Magic Johnson, Ryan White. And you didn't know anybody in Roanoke that had it, so you just went and did whatever you did. And then all of a sudden, I had friends that were HIV positive. I started losing friends that were HIV positive. I became safer in bed. And folks say, I've been tested. I was tested last week, and I'm negative. But you don't know if that's the truth. You have to be safe with everyone. You can't really take their word, because if they had sex with anyone after they were negative, then they could be positive, and it may not show up for 6 months. So I treat everyone that I'm with as if they are positive, not in a negative way, but just to make sure that they don't get anything from me if I have it, if it hasn't come out yet, and I don't get anything from them in case they don't know or they're lying about it. Because my thing is, because I'm not the most beautiful boy in the room, that if I say that if I were HIV positive and that they would go away, because a lot of people have a phobia about that. And one of the things that I try to bring up during our events at the Diversity Center is that HIV is not the only creature out there. And you've got to be careful with all diseases, because right now syphilis is running rampant in Roanoke, and a lot of men of color are on the DL or down low. So they're hiding things, and I think them and some white folks are spreading it with their straight partners, because a lot of folks are bisexual or whatever. Like I said, we're human beings, we're sexual beings, and we are going to have sex with whoever we're attracted to at any given moment or after any certain amount of glasses of wine or liquor.
Definitely. So can you mention the Diversity Center? So could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I've been with the Diversity Center a little over 2 years. I came in quite by accident, didn't know it existed until the person that was the board chair at the time, Frank House, mentioned to me in a meeting that I would be a good candidate for the board because of the things we had been talking about in a group that I was with or in. And I told him I'm disabled and that I have some health issues that I just like to sit around. My favorite thing is sitting around. The less I do, the more I like it. I never get bored of doing nothing. Doing nothing is my favorite thing. So I said, my head part really wants to do it. My body, I don't know if I can do it or if it'll hold up. I said, but I'll let you know. So he went away, and a week or so went by, and I'm in the shower washing what little hair I have, and I thought, who have ever asked me to be on the board of directors? I said, nobody. I said, when are they going to ask me again? At 58, probably nobody. So I said, let me call Frank and see when the next meeting is, and I did. And I went to the meeting, and they gave them my spiel of kind of who I was and what I was doing, and they said they took a vote and voted me in as a board member at large. And when I joined, I got cards, of course, that said I was with the Diversity Center, and I went out in the community, mostly the park, and was giving my cards out to everyone to let them know about the Diversity Center, because we would have events and nobody would come. Partly because no one knew we were here, like me. I've been here all my life. I didn't know they were here. They had been here a couple of years when I found out about them. And so I was kind of doing a liaison thing after I joined, because I was so excited that I was on the board of directors with a organization that I thought was doing great things. And then an opportunity came up that I could be the liaison for the Diversity Center, and they again voted to have me do that. I got new cards that said liaison. I went back out to the community and did the same thing. And over the years, as liaison, I was always fair, approachable, and friendly to folks and inviting them to the Diversity Center. And just about 6 months ago, Frank, the chair, decided that he was going to step down because his partner was having health issues. And they were both on the board of directors. One was chair, one was vice chair. So I started kind of shadowing Frank and learning what all it took to run the center. And then on February 16th, the board took a vote between me and a few other folks, and I became board chair. Since then, I've changed things up a little bit. We had a film group that showed films every Sunday, and I said, well, if I've taken it over and I do the same thing as before, it's going to be the same thing, and no one's going to know anything has changed. So I changed it to the Rainbow Cinema. We had theme months, and we have had our film attendance grow from none on some days to 12 or 15 people, depending on the film. We have the Mamma Mia sing-along every year. We watch the ABBA show or the movie, and the more time goes by, the more people are coming in. We used to have rainbow chats with one or two people, sometimes just board members. The last one last week had 14 folks. So we're kind of outgrowing our space and all for the better, and are looking for a space downtown. And hopefully in the next few months or so, we'll be downtown, be more visible, and have bigger and better things to have for folks to come and enjoy.
Definitely. So is there anything else that you like to share with us? Any stories? Anything that you've thought of that we haven't asked you?
Well, not really. Maybe a promotion of such. The Diversity Center is the only, has the only diversity camp in the state of Virginia. In fact, Josh Olinger, on our board, he came up with this idea, and he heard from a person that was going to one of the camps that he worked and said, we need a camp just for us. So that's where that idea came about.